The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter Number 16, Texts Number 33 through 39, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 3rd, 2017, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Nama. Hiranyagarbhaya. Pranaya. Jagat. Atmane, Yoga, Aishvarya, Shariraya, Namate, Yoga, Hetave, Namo Hiranyagarbhaya, Pranaya Jagadatmane, Yogaishvarya Shariraya. Namaste Yoga Hetave. Namo Hiranyagarbhaya. Pranaya Jagadatmane. Yogaishvarya Shariraya. Namaste Yoga Hetave. Namo Hiranyagarbhaya. Pranaya Jagadatmane. Yogaishvarya Shariraya. Namaste Yoga Hetave. Nama. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Hiranyagarbhaya. Situated as the four-headed Hiranyagarbha. Brahma. Pranaya. The source of everyone's life. Jagat Atmane. The supersoul of the entire universe. Yoga Aishvarya Shariraya. Whose body is full of opulences and mystic power. Namate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Yoga Hetave. The original master of all mystic power. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are situated as Hiranyagarbha, the source of life, the supersoul of every living entity. Your body is the source of the opulence of all mystic power. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Text 34. Namaste Adidevaya Sakshi Bhutayate Namaha. Narayanaya Rishaye Naraya Haraye Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are the original personality of Godhead, the witness in everyone's heart, in the incarnation of Nara Narayan Rishi in the form of a human being. O personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Namo Marakatashama Bapushe Digatashriye Keshavaya Namastubhyam Namaste Pita Vasase. My Lord, I offer you my respectful obeisance. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you who are dressed in yellow garments, whose bodily hue resembles the Marakata gem, and who have full control over the goddess of fortune. O my Lord Keshava, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tvang Sarva Varada Pungsang Varanya Varadarshaba Ataste Shreyase Dhira Pada Renum Upasate. O most exalted and worshipable Lord, best of those who bestowed benediction, you can fulfill the desires of everyone, and therefore those who are sober for their own welfare worship the dust of your lotus feet. Shishi Garnitai Kija. Anvatarat Avarta. Anavartantayang Deva Srishtitat Pada Padmayo Sprihayanta Iva Modong Bhagavan Me Prasidatam. All the demigods as well as the goddess of fortune engage in the service of his lotus feet. Indeed, they respect the fragrance of those lotus feet. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me. Etaira Mantraya Harishikam Rishikesham Avahana Puraskritam Archayech Chadaya Yukta Padyopa Parshanadibi. Keshava Aradhar Kashyap Muni continued. By chanting all these mantras, welcoming the Supreme Personality of Godhead with faith and devotion, and offering him items of worship such as bhaja and argya, one should worship Keshava, Rishikesha, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 39. Archit Vaganda Mayadhyai Payasa Snapayad Vibhum Vastro Pavitabharena Padjo Pashpa Paspashanaistataha Gandha Dupa Dibisharched Dvadasha Charavidya. In the beginning, the devotee should chant the Dvadashadakara mantra and offer flower garlands, incense, and so on. After worshipping the deity in this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk and dress him with proper garments, sacred thread, and ornaments. After offering water to wash the Lord's lotus feet, one should again worship the Lord with fragrant flowers, incense, and other paraphernalia. Report the Dvadashakchara mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. While worshipping the deity, one should ring a bell with his left hand and offer padya, argya, vastra, gandha, mala, abharana, bhushana, and so on. In this way, one should bathe the deity with milk, dress him, and again worship him with all paraphernalia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschachidesha Tadine.
So the Bhagavatam is telling us to worship Krishna. Of course, as Hare Krishna people, we take that for granted. Yeah, worship Krishna. It's like, you know, it's just what you do, you worship Krishna. But for the outsider who has no connection with Krishna consciousness, that's a very foreign, weird idea. Worship. Who's Krishna? Worship somebody? See, these are all very foreign, bizarre concepts for many people nowadays. So how do we understand this, of course, for ourselves? That's the most important thing. But also, how can we understand it and explain it in such a way that the general population would go, yeah. You see, I should do that. This is what we have to master, this art, you see. How to explain the science of bhakti in such a way that the average person coming off the street would go, wow, you've saved my life, you see. This is something amazing. So how do we connect the average person with Krishna consciousness philosophy? It depends on the mentality, actually. Everyone has their own different mindset.
One person has this mindset, another one has that mindset. There's unlimited combinations of the three modes of material nature. Just like the three primary colors, you see, red, blue, and yellow. You can get thousands and millions of colors out of those three primary colors. So the same thing with the three modes of nature. There's unlimited varieties of mentalities in the material existence based on how you mix them up. You see? So the most important thing really then is that we have our own Krishna consciousness. Because once you have your Krishna consciousness, then Krishna within will give you the intelligence how to speak to a particular person in such a way according to his particular mentality. Because there's no one set mentality in the material world. Everyone has a different mentality. No two people have exactly the same mentality. You see? We're all individuals, so everybody has their own individual mentalities. So if one can develop sufficient conviction that yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you see, then he can convince others if they're willing to hear. The difficulty is, as Prabhupada pointed out to us, he said, Krishna lived in Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. You see, we have the skeptics in our own hearts, that's the problem. How to get rid of that skepticism? See, that's a more important thing. How do we become absolutely convinced? Well, the more you go on hearing, that's one thing. You have to hear, and understand. And also inquire it. This is about how I was trained up by Vishnu Dhanman, as he said. You must inquire until your intelligence is fully satisfied. That was a very profound instruction. Yes. If you blindly accept something, yeah, okay, then you'll also blindly reject it. We see many people come and go from our society because they never understood with their intelligence. They went along with it for some time, like on a sentimental basis. And they seem to be very, even initiated devotees, you see. They seem to be really into Krishna consciousness, and then boom, they're gone, you see. They never understood with their intelligence. Prabhupada said the intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul, you see. So if you actually understand with your intelligence, you have your intelligence fully satisfied, you see, to erase all doubts. You see, that's the idea. You inquire until all the doubts are gone. And then you're solid. So inquire from the bona fide spiritual master, from Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, advanced devotees. This is very, very essential. When Prabhupada was here, we had very good opportunity to inquire from Prabhupada himself. In fact, when I joined, any devotee in the movement could write Prabhupada a letter and he would write back. Every devotee in the movement had facility to write Prabhupada when I joined. Pretty amazing. Can you imagine? You can write Prabhupada a letter and get an answer. But then shortly after they changed the policy. Only the GBCs and temple presidents, sannyasis. But I had already written a few letters and I was addicted to writing Prabhupada letters. So I just couldn't handle the new policy. Even though it was coming from Prabhupada, it was more than I could handle psychologically. So I wrote him anyway. Took a gamble and wrote Prabhupada a letter anyway. But I didn't put my name on the return. Hopefully they would get through the security, you know. But Prabhupada was very kind. He was so kind. He understood, here's somebody who really has a strong need to write me personally, even though I've made this instruction. He has a strong need to write me personally. So he answered me very kindly, very mercifully. He said, he reminded me of the new policy. But then he said, but he gave a concession to me, seeing I had a strong need to write him directly, you see. He said, but if my disciple has an urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. So he told me if there was an urgent need, I could write him. He gave me a concession. There was the policy, but I had an exemption from Prabhupada directly. an exemption to the policy. So I did. Only in as much as I was honest about it. I mean, only insofar as I actually needed it. I felt an urgent need that I do, but then I stopped. At a certain point, I was totally satisfied. I got about 10 letters from Prabhupada, and I was totally satisfied now. I didn't need to write him personally anymore, because his instructions were coming in so many ways, from the books, through my godbrothers. Some of the most profound answers I heard were from my godbrothers. Amazing philosophical points. So I could see how Prabhupada was still instructing me, but it was coming through different channels, you see. So in this way, I became very satisfied. Then, of course, by hearing also, by hearing Prabhupada, just like at one point, I was given a wonderful service. I was in the Gainesville Center. It was just a grihastha couple in an apartment. That was the temple, and I moved in. I had my own room. They had their room, the household room, and there was the brahmachari room. Just I had my brahmachari room in their apartment. And in 1 year, we had a medium temple with like 30 devotees. It was amazing. In 1 year, we went from 3 to 30. It was an amazing thing. But Amarendra Prabhu, our temple president, he gave me a wonderful service. He said, you should go out every day to the Plaza of the Americas. It's on the University of Florida campus, and distribute prasadam. The first day I went out, I just took a bowl of Simply Wonderfuls, and I made a devotee immediately. It's amazing. I sat down with a bowl of Simplies and a harmonium and started singing. I made a devotee the first day. Shyamakunda Prabhu became an initiated devotee. The first day, can you imagine how ripe it was? The very first day I made a devotee. And then we made a few more, in the few more days we made a few more devotees. It was an amazing time. But then I decided to make a full lunch program, not just Simply Wonderfuls, make a full lunch program. It became a big thing. Because they had previously been doing this food distribution when Gargamuni Swami was there. But there was a centralization period in ISKCON where they said, we have to close all the small temples and just consolidate and centralize everything, have one bank account for the whole movement. And Papa nipped the whole thing. He was very disturbed. He wanted each temple to be separately managed, not just one managed burial thing. And everybody just, you know, you collect money and send it into this, send your money to, you know, to New York. And whatever you made in New York gives you something, you know, to get by. One completely centralized ISKCON. Now he wanted individual corporations, actually. Of course, he wanted the GBC to be there also, but it was like, if you consider the structure, it would be kind of like a franchise. That's the way I see it. Where it's like a gross example, McDonald's. You can have a McDonald's franchise, but you have to follow the policies of McDonald's to be called McDonald's. But you have your own separate business. But if you don't follow the rules, they take away your McDonald's name. You can't call yourself. You can call yourself something else. But if you want to do it your own way, you're not McDonald's anymore. So that's the way I understand ISKCON. The way Prabhupada wanted its structure. Each temple is separately managed. But to be called ISKCON, you have to do this, this, this. You have to do this. You have to do it in this way. You know, there has to be Mangalarti. No illicit sex. No meeting. 16 rounds, the standards of Prabhupada. So that's my understanding of this kind. But anyway, the temple president there, he sent me out to do prasadam distribution every day, and it was really wonderful. But then another wonderful thing happened was something new was introduced in ISKCON called the Bhaktivedanta Tate Ministry. Previously, you couldn't hear any lectures of Prabhupada. There was no copies. Unless somebody gave you a copy, there wasn't any way to hear Prabhupada's lectures unless you were sitting at one. Because there was no internet. We didn't have all the tech things we have nowadays. Unless you were actually... In fact, when I joined, we would hear recordings on these reel-to-reel... cassettes weren't even out yet. Reel-to-reel tape machines with the big... I remember sitting in the Dallas Temple, we had a reel-to-reel machine. We didn't have even cassettes yet. But then cassettes became introduced just at that time when I joined. And now the devotees figured out how to put Prabhupada's lectures on cassettes and start a whole tape ministry. You could subscribe, and every week you get an envelope with the latest lectures, the latest morning walk. It was amazing. But where's the time to listen to it? You got to do service, Prabhu. You got to, you can't sit down and listen to tapes. So we were very busy. From morning till night, working here, doing this, running here, doing that, you know what I mean? So, wow, how am I going to hear all these tastes? But I realized, I don't really need lunch that badly. I'll just skip lunch every day. When all the devotees are in the prasadam room, I have the Brahmacharya Ashramana myself, and I'll get a notebook and a cassette player, and I'll play the tapes, take notes, stop it, take note, rewind it. I took notebooks and notebooks of notes from those cassettes. And then my service would go out and preach on the campus. I heard all the arguments on Venice Beach, Prabhupada defeating the scientists. And I went out and heard these science students who were putting forward atheistic philosophy. And I had just I just heard it an hour ago from Prabhupada. Now I'm repeating it again on the campus to the students. And it was really powerful. We made so many devotees. So I found another way to connect with Prabhupada was by hearing his lectures, you see. I was writing him. And now I'm hearing his lectures, so I'm really feeling satisfied hearing the lectures. So the point is, we have to find that way to connect ourselves with Srila Prabhupada. Each one of us has to find our way to connect with Srila Prabhupada. By praying, by hearing, by serving. Because anybody who has that dedication to Prabhupada, they'll never leave, never fall down. I wouldn't dare fall down because Prabhupada would be disappointed with me, you see. So it's very important that's what holds us together, because we have so many gurus now in ISKCON. I got my 250 disciples, somebody else has their disciples. We have so many groups. What makes us together is one movement. It's Prabhupada. It's all of us worship Prabhupada. He's our authority. We all bow down. The word Prabhupada means the master at whose feet masters sit. You see? So all the ISKCON gurus, they just bow down. They're just humble servants of Prabhupada. You see? So that's how we are a worldwide movement, and that's how we can actually be successful in making the world Krishna conscious, is by our dedication to Srila Prabhupada. So each one of us has to learn how to connect with Srila Prabhupada. I learned how to connect through my authority, because Prabhupada gave me one instruction. He said, do whatever the temple president says, direct order from Prabhupada. So I learned how to accept my temple president as Prabhupada's representative. That by being my temple president, I'm pleasing Prabhupada. I mean, Prabhupada directly told me, do whatever the temple president says, direct order. So I learned how to do that. Of course, as a young brahmachari, sometimes you're a little rebellious, but nature, but I learned how to do that. I learned how to be dedicated to Prabhupada and to Prabhupada's representative, the GBC, temple presidents. I learned that principle. That's kept me here. Because I know Prabhupada wants me to have proper relationships. Not some people, they don't want to respect the representatives of Prabhupada. They say, we only follow Prabhupada. We don't accept the GBC. We don't accept the temple president. We just follow Prabhupada. But they're not following Prabhupada, you see. Because Prabhupada said we should follow the... He set up a society, ISKCON. He wants us to follow... If we don't work within... If we're not dedicated to the institution that Prabhupada established, then how are we dedicated to Srila Prabhupada? You see? We're not really dedicated to him. We're not following his instruction. Prabhupada said, if they leave ISKCON, they leave me. So to work together within the society that Prabhupada gave us, this is our love for Prabhupada. Is it easy? Sometimes. Is it difficult? Sometimes. It has its easy moments and its difficult moments. For those who are just like in a marriage, is it always easy? No. There's so many conflicts in a marriage. Or brahmacharis in the brahmachari ashram, sometimes there's conflicts. So if one is dedicated to having a good relationship with one's fellow brahmacharis or with one's spouse, you see, then you tolerate those difficulties for the sake of the relationship. So the same thing applies to ISKCON. And that's how we please Prabhupada, by tolerating whatever difficulties we may have as a member of the society and getting along with the other devotees. We tolerate that, we try to work through it, just like in any relationship. You have to work through the difficulties and you don't break the relationship, make the relationship. Or as President Clinton said, don't end it, mend it. You see? So we don't want to end ISKCON because of all the conflicts that we have. We have to mend ISKCON. We have conflicts, we have to work through those conflicts and resolve them. So one is sincere in his desire to please Srila Prabhupada. One will dedicate his whole life to mending whatever difficulties there might be in the relationships that we have with each other. Because that, if we don't, just like that labor party in Poland, it was called Solidarity. A very famous labor party in Poland that was able to stand up against communism and very powerfully and help bring about the change. I forget the labor leader is a very famous man, I forget his name.
Lech Walesa.
Huh?
Lech Walesa.
Yeah. Yeah, the poly was Solidarity. So we ISKCON must also be Solidarity Party, you see. We have to make ISKCON a solidarity party. Solidarity means you're together, you're dedicated, you're tight, you're working together tightly. As I one time, example, tight-knit sweater. There's a loose-knit sweater that the wind can get through, you know. Cold wind can come through. If you have a tight-knit sweater, keeps you warm even when it's really cold. But a loose-knit sweater may look cool, but it doesn't keep you very warm. You see? So it's the Kali Yuga, it's the winter age. We have to have tight-knit ISKCON, not loose-knit. You see? Tight-knit ISKCON, to keep out Kali's influence. It's like a tight-knit sweater, you see. So we have a few minutes left, about 10 minutes for questions. Anybody have any questions? Yes?
It's about Prabhupada's letters and the collection of Prabhupada's letters.
Let me get my hearing aid amp.
Okay.
Little tech, high-tech gadget here. Amp up my hearing aids. Okay.
It's a question about Prabhupada's letters.
Prabhupada's letters?
And the collection of Prabhupada's letters. Did Prabhupada's secretary keep a copy of each letter Prabhupada sent? Or were the letters collected from devotees after Prabhupada's passing away?
When Prabhupada was here, there was no such thing available for the devotees' collection.
After Prabhupada's time, then we got a collection of letters we have now.
Yeah.
Did Prabhupada's secretary keep a copy of each letter? Or were they...
How did they get them? I know, there was a request to have them sent in. I sent mine in. There was a request, please send your letters. I know I sent mine in. They misspell my name in the letter book. I don't know. They have Sankara Shana. Sankara Sana. I told them to correct it, but I think it was probably the archives. I forget who did it, but they request everybody to send their letters in. In the old days, you would there was no such thing, and they posted. Sometimes a letter would come, they posted in the temple, you know, the bulletin board. So I was Xeroxing letters. I had my own personal collection, whatever I could gather. There was somebody had a letter, I immediately Xeroxed it. So I had a whole big set of Xerox copies of letters in the beginning. When the old letter book came out, the collection, that was great. I didn't worry about Xeroxing anymore. But I still have those old Xerox copies of letters too. But yeah, we just mailed in our letters. That's what I remember sending mine in.
That means actually there must be several letters out there
still. Oh yeah, they're not all there. There are definitely more out there. Sometimes they find more and they have a new editions of the Veda base have more letters because they ready to gather more of them from here and there. Yeah. Prabhupada's letters are real treasure. Everything, it's such a treasure, a gold mine, you know, his letters, his lectures, morning walk conversation. It's an incredible gold mine of transcendental wisdom. Incredible gold mine. Especially the books. That's what he put forward. The letters and the lectures help us understand the books better. We base our understanding of the books. That's what Prabhupada wanted. The books are the basis. See, we have some letters coming in. I mean, not letters, but questions. Any questions? Looks like there's no questions coming in. Any of y'all on the internet have any questions? Please type them in. We only have about 5 minutes left, 7 minutes left. So anybody has a question, go ahead and let's hear it. Yeah.
You said you were doing a lot of prasadam distribution.
Mm.
I'm very fond of prasadam distribution. What did you use to distribute?
I forget the exact preps. We had a full lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a full lunch. That program is still going on. This is the longest standing prasadam distribution in all of ISKCON. It was started by Gargamuni, and then during the centralization era, they closed down the Gainesville temple. But Amarendra went and reopened it like a year or so later, and I joined him and his wife Gayatri. And so since I restarted it, it's gone on nonstop since, we're talking since 19. I restarted the program under his order in 1973. It's been going on nonstop ever since then. Actually, the university wanted to close it down. So they came out, even though we had a kitchen certified by the health department. They came out to the campus. They took specimens of the food. They took it to a lab, and they said, "This is contaminated. We're going to shut down your program. This is not healthy." So they came out, and devotees defied the Qazis. It's like Lord Chaitanya, you know, defying them. They defied the Qazi. They went out there, and the police came and handcuffed the devotees and dragged them to the squad cars across the campus. The devotees went nonviolent. They just went limp. They were dragging the devotees to the squad cars for distributing prasadam. And Amarendra, at that time I had been transferred to Atlanta, but somehow Amarendra appreciated what I had done. So he had sent all the photographs to me and said, "Now you send them to Prabhupada." He mailed them to me in Atlanta and had me send them to Prabhupada. So I forwarded Prabhupada all the photographs and of how they were dragging the devotees to the squad cars and handcuffs. And the students were standing around and heckling the police. They were so angry at the police. "They're feeding us and you're arresting them?" The students, they were just heckling the police. And then we took him to, Amarendra is a real fighter. We took him to court and we beat the university in the court. And it's been going on nonstop. It's still going on nonstop. You still go to University of Florida, it's still going on. The Krishna Lunch programs. It's been going on ever since nonstop since 2000, and since 1973. How many years is that? That's like 45 years almost, isn't it? So, yeah, Now Kalakanta was there holding down the fort, keeping it going. Now they charge some money. We gave out free. They charge some very small fee now to help fund the thing. And they line up, it queue up. It's a big thing. Hundreds of students queue up every day for their lunch, prasadam lunch. Yeah.
We don't have a certified kitchen, so we cannot really charge any money.
This is a managerial thing. I don't know your local government. I don't know anything. It's that you and the managers work it out.
But we can still take donations for it.
Like I say, this is managerial stuff about Danish law and all that. I have nothing. I'm not a Danish. I'm a Texan, materially speaking. So I don't know anything about the legalese here. That's between you and your temple president to work that out. Yeah.
My father and I have been talking about going to India together at some time. India. My father and I have been talking about going to India together at some point.
Do what in India?
He and his father are planning to go to India sometime.
Sometime. Well, that's very good. Why don't you come now?
Well,
Oh, okay. Come with us. No, that's all right.
No, but we're just talking about it, me and my father, and going at some point. But I'm wondering whether it's Maya, whether it's dangerous for me, because my father's not a devotee. He told me I can plan it all, like go wherever we want.
Wait till you get initiated, until you're fixed up devotee, so you can really take your father. Tell father, we'll do it, but let me get... I want to become initiated disciple first, me fixed up so I can give you a really good tour of India, spiritual tour. And you have to work it out with your temple president, of course. But that's in the future, you could go. And once you become qualified to actually be a tour guide, a spiritual tour guide for your father, not just go some spaced out person. And you actually, the best thing is you go first and become learned about holy places and how to understand and approach the holy places. And then once you're fixed up and how to do that, once you know the art of how to enter a holy dham as a humble pilgrim bowing down in the dust, you see, then you can have teach your father how to enter Vrindavan by bowing down in the dust, not just a sightseer. You learn how to be a pilgrim, and then you can train him how to be a pilgrim also. See, when you go to Vrindavan, you don't just get out of the cab. Oh, here I'm in Vrindavan. No, not like that. You go to Vrindavan, as soon as you get out of the cab, you get down in the dirt. And after you're done, it's in the dirt. Now you're in sacred ground. Every particle of dust is not different from Krishna himself. You know, it's very, very, you have to really know. Otherwise, there's 10 offenses called the dham aparads, offenses that you can make in the dham. You have to learn how to enter the dham properly, just like chanting Hare Krishna. How to chant Hare Krishna without committing offense, how to enter the Dham without committing offense. It's a similar thing. Not just get on the plane and go. Actually, you won't even be in Vrindavan unless you know how to enter it. You'll be in the shadow of Vrindavan. You won't be in the real Vrindavan. So if you become a fixed-up devotee, initiated and fixed-up devotee, and learn how to go as a pilgrim to these places, and then take your dad, you'll become a devotee. Next. Well, we have about 15 seconds. So does ISKCON Food Relief Program is Prasadam Distribution Program? Yeah, ISKCON Food Relief is Prasadam Distribution. They don't give out unoffered food. ISKCON Food Relief is Prasadam, yes. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for so kindly tolerating our nonsense as we try to... try to be Krishna conscious here in ISKCON, Copenhagen. Srina Bhavapada ki jai. Gaura Prema Nandi. Jai.